Hello, hello, and welcome to today's episode of Divine Downloads Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton. And before I start today, I just want to give a brief update reminder. If this is your first time, welcome, welcome. Thank you for showing up. If you're a repeat listener, thank you so much. And again, the reason I want to have this platform or this dialogue is because I want to show nurses specifically, I want nurses to understand and recognize and appreciate how every single nurse has a very specific, very distinguishable, different journey, and it's beautiful and perfect in every way, number one. Number two, I want to show nurses what is actually possible when you say yes to the highest version of yourself. And so I hope that that is what people are experiencing. And you do not have to be a nurse to be able to appreciate this wisdom and the awesome things that my guests are sharing. So welcome to the broadcast. Today, per usual, I'm so ecstatic to have on the show a fellow nurse, Susan Turnage, who has an incredible background. And so Susan began her healthcare career as a hospital volunteer at the age of 14. She graduated nursing school at age 20, and after 4 decades of clinical nursing in hospitals, home health, corrections, pediatric head injury, and as a telephonic nurse case manager, her focus now centers on holistic healthcare and wellness. In addition to that, wishing to combine her nursing career with yoga, Susan completed training as a certified yoga nurse in March of 2015. Her avocation now combines with her vocation to bring this holistic and healing approach, combining the ancient wisdom of yoga with the modern science of nursing to her sister and brother nurses. Susan brings her compassion, empathy, and humor, very important, to help nurses deal with the unique stresses they encounter daily. Her mission is to address nurse burnout by bringing this sacred remedy to nurses and nursing students worldwide. And most recently, she has gathered her stories and published them in an occupational memoir called One Nurse Universe. You are going to be able to experience the power of this work for Susan. So without further ado, Susan Turnage, welcome to the broadcast, young lady.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here today.
Okay, so many things to discuss. So I like to share with the listeners how I meet the beautiful people that I have on my show. And so I love, love, love connecting with people all over the world. And this is why I truly adore social media, because social media is, of course, where Susan and I connected. And I honestly cannot remember, maybe it was in the yoga nurse group originally. Susan, do you remember where we first connected on social media?
Yes, I remember that Annette Tersini, the founder of Yoga Nursing, contacted me and said that you were highlighting nurses in different fields of nursing, and said if I was interested to contact you. So I did.
That's right. You were highlighted in my nurse boss blog. That's right. Okay, perfect. So again, the beauty of the interwebs, Susan, you live in Virginia, right?
That's correct. Perfect. Near Williamsburg.
Beautiful. And I live in Minnesota. And so here we are. Of course, I feel like I've known you for a really, really long time just because we're kindred spirits. And so would you just start off? I mean, you have a lot of experience. We're going to hear from your book, which I'm so excited for. But can you just share with the listeners as much or as little of your journey, sort of like how you started? I mean, we know you were a volunteer, and sort of how you got to be where you are. That would be awesome.
I would be happy to do that. As Elizabeth said, I've been a nurse for 47 years now. And I actually came to the career of nursing when I was 6 years old at St. Bartholomew's Catholic School and needed to line up for a vaccine, for the polio vaccine and a shot. And I remember walking into the gymnasium that day, and there were tables full of needles and little pill cups. And I, as I waited in line, I looked at the nurse, and the sunshine was floating in from the high windows of the ceiling. And this nurse in a white dress uniform and white hose and white shoes and a white cap on her head, she just seemed to be illuminated to me. And I was wearing my little plaid dress with a pinafore on top. And I looked at my little red Mary Janes and I looked at her white shoes as I got closer and closer. I just felt surrounded by her light. And when I was terrified, of course, of getting a shot, and we were instructed not to cry. And so when it was my turn, I stood next to her. She was seated and she gave me the sugar pill and she swabbed my arm with alcohol and put the needle in. I never felt it. And then when she put a Band-Aid over my arm, she kind of squeezed my tiny little arm and said, "You are a good girl." And right then I said, "I am going to be her. I'm going to be a nurse. I want the white shoes. I want the white hose. I want the clean dress," because I wasn't able to be a very clean little child. I was always dirty. And so when it was time for me to become a volunteer, I went to Philadelphia General Hospital. And actually, I have to confess, you had to be 15 to be a volunteer. And so I falsified my application document because I was technically going to be 15 in November, but I was still 14 in June. Got the job and worked in Philadelphia General Hospital, which has been torn down. And I met one nurse for a ward of 20 children. And I got to do everything. I got to bathe babies. I got to remove plaster casts by soaking them in a little kiddie pool. And so my journey continued from there. I went to nursing school in Philadelphia, found that I just had a passion for pediatric nursing, did pediatric nursing. But then as my life evolved and I moved around for marriages, family needs, everywhere I went, I found a new opportunity to expand my journey of nursing. So I did, a variety of hospital and non-hospital nursing. I did home health and office nursing, record reviews. And as my sons like to say, I spent 7 years in jail as a nurse. And all of that culminated in my final job was working in Medicaid personal care. And they laid me off because I was working part-time and they needed a nurse who had a marketing degree and a nursing degree because they wanted the nurse to do both of those. And I reached a point where here I was after 40 some years of nursing. And what I wanted to really do was patient education, one, and help the new nurses coming along in their career to manage to stay in nursing, because it distressed me so to see the burnout. So I didn't know how that would happen. I just didn't know how that would happen. And on a sidetrack, I took yoga teacher training because I had been coming out of a very abusive relationship, and friends of mine said, "You should do yoga. It will help you calm down." And so I took some yoga training and thought, "Hey, this is a wellness program. I could do this as a nurse." And so I did yoga teacher training, and during training, we had to do a project, our final project, what you would like to do with your yoga training. So I wrote this paper about, I want to take my yoga into the community. I want to reach out to multi-ethnic populations who would never go to a studio because, one, they couldn't afford it, it wasn't nearby, all the barriers you can think of. Didn't know how that would happen either. Got my yoga training and said, you know, why shouldn't nurses be doing this? So, you know, go to Google and I type in yoga plus nursing and up comes yoga nursing. Found Annette Tersini, became a certified yoga nurse, and put it out there, Elizabeth. I just put it out there. Started telling everybody who would listen to me, look, I want to teach in the community. If you hear of anybody, I contacted churches, I contacted Parks and Rec, community services, social services. And little by little, I was offered opportunities. Parks and Rec in Charles City, Virginia, which is a very rural county, it's about 204 square miles and only 7,000 citizens, said, hey, we could use you to teach a chair class once a week. And two people came, you know, kind of like the scouts. Two ladies came, they checked me out. I passed muster and then some. They called friends, more people came. The ladies said to the Parks and Rec director, oh, we want this more than once a week. So then it turned to twice a week. And if you go to my website, you can see how my nursing and yoga career have expanded. So people say, are you still a nurse? And I say, yes, I'm still a nurse. I talk to nursing students about yoga nursing and I teach yoga classes as health and wellness. Well, they say, well, you're not really a nurse anymore. You don't work in the hospital. So I've come up with this new way to look at myself as a nurse. I'm an undercover nurse. I go teach yoga classes in the community. I teach 11 yoga classes a week now, mat and chair, therapeutic yoga classes, medically informed. And I teach what I want to teach, breathing, med compliance. I teach anatomy, fall prevention. I teach arthritis and osteoporosis and hypertension management. I teach acceptance of your body, whether it's a small or large body, whether all the parts work or all the parts don't work. I teach people to breathe.
Okay.
So there, in a little bit more than 25 words.
Wow, this is a tweetable right here. I teach people to breathe. Just everybody, just put your feet on the ground wherever you are. If you're in your car, just exhale all the air from your lungs and then just take a nice deep, deep cleansing breath. Oh my. That makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I teach people to breathe and I teach people acceptance of the body. So this is what I'm also a yoga teacher. This is what I love to say when people say, what's the number one question, right? Is that, well, there's always the can't word. I'm not flexible. I said, let me ask you a question. Can you breathe? And they say, they look at me cross-eyed and they say, yes. I said, then you can do yoga.
Well, what I say is, do you have a skeleton? Yes. And at least one lung? Yes. You're in. If you have two lungs, you exceed expectations already.
That is so good. Okay. So many things I want to look at. It's interesting how you mention people make comments like, well, you're not really a nurse. To me, I've been talking a lot about this lately, Susan, and it's this idea. One of the things that I know to be true in my 47 years of life experience is that other people's opinions about us are none of our business. So to me, when someone says you're not really a nurse, that to me, that just highlights their own misconceptions or ideas about the profession that aren't necessarily accurate.
Exactly. But the first time I heard it, it was, you know, the bullet really hit the bone until I had a moment to really think about it the way you just defined it, that people have a certain stereotype of what nurses do. And so I illuminate for them, you know, how I am continuing in my nursing career. So.
And I also want to acknowledge your ability to tell a story, which now that I've heard you speak and I've heard you share the story, when you're at your school and the nurse, like the way that you described her, it reminds me of, I'm not gonna be able to remember his name now, so this famous author who, the way that he writes is so descriptive. And just the visual that I was getting when you were talking about, she just was illuminated and like, talk about an earth angel, right? Like, whoa, that's very profound. So I think this might be a great time to talk about what was it that allowed you, brought you to this place emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, to pen your first memoir?
I've been collecting my stories and writing them down since 1988. And because I would tell family my stories and I would get such a reaction out of them, I started writing them down. And I took a variety of writing classes and over the years here and there, and I'd write up a binder full of stories and put them away, and years would go by, another writing class. So I had that urge, that tangent, that thread throughout my life that these stories needed to be told. And so I saved up my stories and finally realized it's a now or never situation. So I thought, what I really need is an editor. And I mentioned to one friend, I need an editor. She said, oh, call Cheryl Cease Williams. She's an editor. Right away, we connected over the phone. I knew she was the right one for me. And so I started sending her stories. She edited them. And that was not a very pleasant experience, I have to say. I sent her a story that I thought was my best writing ever. She picked out one sentence and said, here's one good sentence in this story. Throw the rest out and start over. I was like, what? I realized she was right. I mean, I wrote it over. It was quite relaxed and, you know, my heels skidding along the ground. I rewrote it. And Cheryl was the one who said to me, all these stories, they're nursing stories, and I get it. I get the stories you're telling, but where's the stories about you in here? Just like you targeted, Elizabeth, right? How did you get started here? How did you find your career? And without my personal stories, the stories just didn't connect into a chain. And of course, resistance, right? No, I'm not going to tell those stories because I want people to like me. I don't want them to think I had a difficult childhood and mothered it and loved me. I didn't want to share that. I had stuffed those stories down in the bottom drawer of some dresser that lived in the basement. So, you know, we had this exchange. You need to write about yourself. I don't want to. Yes, you do. No, you don't. I'm not going to do it. Finally, again, I realized she was right. And when I put those stories together, that's when this book came together.
So juicy. So many things in this particular conversation that I want to highlight. And that is, it is so healing when we can lean in to the resistance, right? It's not fun or easy, and it's absolutely required for our soul journey. Like, and I believe every one of us has one soul lesson that we're here to learn. And until we can lean in to the pain, until we can lean into the suffering, until we can lean into the resistance, we we will not master the lesson because we want to push it away. We want to put it in the basement. We want to put it in the bottom drawer. That's a human experience. And so how cool is it that by her tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, Susan, where are you in these stories?" Right? Like, I got goosebumps when you were talking about you didn't want to go there. And so would you say that penning this memoir has helped part of your healing?
Oh, 100%, without a doubt. And I had heard that many times, write your stories and you'll begin to heal. And I thought, oh, you know, bogus, resistance. But it's true. Once I sat down and told these stories, and now that people are reading these stories, I'm getting these notes. They're like, this is my story. This happened to me. And I'm so happy to hear that, you know, I wasn't alone in these stories. And yes, it has helped me not only heal, but understand the difficulties I've had in my life and why those challenges were placed in front of me. And, you know, this quote I've always liked, I have it in front of me, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." C.S. Lewis wrote that. And once I wrote those stories of myself into this book, I realized that was the purpose of those experiences. They were preparation for me.
So good. This is so interesting. Of course, I believe everything is divinely orchestrated and there are no coincidences. Everything is divinely timed and orchestrated. This morning, that quote that you just read by C.S. Lewis, so powerful. I was at the music store this morning getting a book for my son. He plays clarinet, and it said, "A smooth sea never created a skilled sailor."
Wow, yeah.
It's like, so yes, it's like we have to do the work. We have to, I call it looking under the hood. And it's so it's so wonderful when we can get on the other side of the things, because it gives us a completely different vantage point of the suffering. Okay, so can you speak a little bit to the cover? Because this is, you know, obviously audio, people can't see this. Can you speak to the cover and the name of your book and the art? And then I would love for you to read that beautiful passage and maybe, you know, explain a little bit about the passage you're going to read.
Well, my book, my memoir is called One Nurse Universe, because each nurse to me has a very individual journey throughout their career and their experiences in their day-to-day career. And some nurses stay in one job their entire career and other nurses find their journey taking them in different places. So I put One Nurse Universe because every nurse, 3.8 million nurses in America today, have these stories in them. And so I hope that when other nurses read my book, they will be inspired to write their own stories down to document their path through their career. And the cover art is a stylized portrait of me. I have, it was painted by my son when he was 6 years old, as his Mother's Day gift to me. So in school, the teachers had the children paint a picture of your mom. So I am an outline figure with very large black legs, very large blue arms, and my right hand has simply three fingers to it. And my hair is 8 pieces of sticking up brown sticks coming straight out of the top of my head. But the reason I chose it for my book is that it represents to me what I expect Nick was seeing in me when he looked up from his little 6-year-old height, and that he saw me smiling and he saw my hand reaching out to help him. And that's what nurses do. We have these healing hands. We have large hands that reach out. when we are helping our patients, we simply don't clean up poo and pee, but we stay and we comfort. Sure, we may want to run in some of our difficult challenges as nurses, but we stay, we lean in, as you say. That's what the calling is. And with my son's permission, I added a stethoscope to this little figure of me, and to denote that this is me, the nurse. I want to tell a side story, Elizabeth. This was his Mother's Day gift for me when he was 6. When he was 7, I didn't realize that he was heading off to school that day to do a picture for his Mother's Day gift. So we had somewhat of an argument. He wanted to wear long pants or shorts, and I said, no, long pants, because it's too cold out. You cannot wear shorts today. So he went off to school annoyed. So the drawing that he did for me that year is a red crayon circle for a head. I have red circles around my head as hair, and I have red smoke pouring out of my nose, and I have red spiked triangle teeth.
That so is awesome.
That will be the cover of my next of book 2.
Yes. Wait, and I just want to point out also, because this isn't visualized, just now when I'm looking at the book, Susan, I did not even notice, would this be the AHIMSA symbol, the palms with the heart in the hand? Can you talk about that? The hands with can you talk about that?
Yeah, so that was the universe. I published my memoir through a company called Dog Ear Publishing, and because I didn't want to figure out how to publish a book. I wrote the book. I wanted to put it in somebody else's hands who actually knew what they were doing and not spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how to get an ISBN number. So I submitted this illustration of me, the person, this figure with a stethoscope, and the cover art director put those hands, which are this, you know, it's a yoga symbol, the healing hand, the heart chakra. So I just couldn't believe it when they said, would this be all right? It's like, that would be incredible. Isn't that great?
It, of course, like just whoa. And the other thing I want to add is that I just recently learned this doing something called global healing. That's a healing art anyway. You know, I didn't really know this until recently, is that our hands, like you have energy centers, chakras in all parts of your body, and also in your palms of your hands, and your arms and your hands are an extension of your heart chakra. So wow. I love that the arms are blue and that they're larger than life. Anyway, okay. Carry on. I want to hear you share this incredible passage. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about this chapter that it's from? And yeah.
This story that I will read an excerpt from is from a chapter called My Tummy Hurts. And it's from the time when I was working at Denver Children's Hospital in the early to middle 70s. I was hired on as an oncology nurse, and I was in rotating shifts, and night shift was never my forte. I never knew whether I was coming or going during night shift, but nonetheless, this story comes from one of the shifts when I was working night shift. It was about 5:30 one morning when 10-year-old Michael called me to his room. He was restless and said he had a tummy ache. Leukemia and chemotherapy had racked his now frail body. He was bald and pale. His bones ached from the cancerous blood cells packing his marrow. Finding a comfortable resting position was difficult. He hated the hard hospital bed and asked daily when he could go home. I usually shrugged, saying that it was not up to me. A weak and unsatisfactory reply for the both of us. Now his little belly hurt. I thought a nice warm bath and lotion rub down might bring comfort and help him to relax. His mother was resting on a cot beside his bed. As Michael sighed and agreed to the bath, his mom sat up and rested her chin on top of her folded hands on the bed rail on the opposite side of the bed. I pulled the chain light at the head of the bed once, turning the ceiling light on to its lowest setting. Michael watched me as I quietly gathered the supplies and warm water. While I looked for the soap, he moaned softly again, "My tummy hurts." I turned to him, reached for the edge of the sheet near his chin, and lowered it carefully down past his chest to his tummy. Coiled on his abdomen was a black snake. "Holy shit," I shrieked, instinctively snatching the snake from his abdomen and throwing it across the room. "Oh my God, how did that get there?" My heart was pounding. I snapped the overhead light chain again, flooding the room with light. I searched his body for a bite or whatever a snake might have done. I was gasping for breath. "I'm not afraid for snakes, but holy shit," I thought, "how did one wind up on a child's belly in a pediatric hospital?" I was in full freakout mode. How and when and why had this happened? Were the questions racing through my mind. Hadn't Michael felt it moving over him? For God's sake, what the hell? Words kept rolling loudly from my mouth as I tried to comprehend. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on a bicycle. It was then that I noticed both Michael and his mother were literally crying with laughter. Immediately, I went rigid, pausing to look from them to the snake on the floor. I pulled the light chain to the brightest setting. Plastic snake. My shoulders slumped in relief. Oh yes, I had been completely fooled. In the low light, what I had seen lying on my young patient's tummy had looked like a real snake. It was Michael's idea, his mom managed to gasp out between guffaws. He wanted payback for all the times you nurses stuck him full of needles, full of chemo. Shaking the rubbery 2-foot imposter at him, I growled with fake anger. "I almost peed my pants, you kooky child." He laughed even harder. He made me swear silence about the prank so he could pull off his tummy ache caper with both the day shift nurse and his doctor. Once the word was finally out, every doctor, nurse, secretary, housekeeper, respiratory therapist, and visitor got a verbatim rundown of my screams, not to mention the close call I'd had with incontinence. Michael took great satisfaction in repeating the bad word I had shouted. He became a superhero to the other patients on the ward. Snakes began to appear on a number of other young stomachs. Nurses were feigning fright and running about with arms raised as the plague of snakes that had infested the hospital. Parents grinned with appreciation that their child also could have a story to share. Fun is hard to come by on a ward where children are savagely ill and often dying. Bad lab reports bring grief, not only for that one child and family, but to everyone who breathed that same heavy air. The oncology ward was a community of families united by hope and fractured by sorrow. That plastic snake brought temporary respite and delight.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing just that little, not just that little excerpt, because I'm telling you, if that story moves you, and if it didn't, there must be something wrong with you. You must not have a problem. Then that is the magic that is packed into this incredible life work of Susan's One Nurse Universe. And let's just tell people right now in this moment where people can get this book, Susan.
My book is available through SusanTurnageBooks.com, which is my website, also through Amazon. And if you're near Williamsburg, I have a few in my car. I can drive to you.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. Okay, so this is another question I want to ask. Like this, there are so many things about this that I think are so incredibly powerful. And for people who are listening that are not nurses, this is just a little peek behind the curtain of what nurses go through on a minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, shift by shift basis. And like we were talking about before the show, Susan, this is only one of your patients, this beautiful boy, Michael, and his family. And, you know, meanwhile, you've got all these other patients that are, you know, depending on, you know, if the moon is full, if it's like whatever, what time it is during the shift. It's so much. Nurses are really caring for the humanity of another being. And it's such powerful work. And I think that your life work that you're sharing in this memoir is such a gift to the profession. So I want to acknowledge you for leaning in and writing it and for sharing it with the universe.
Oh, thank you. Very kind. You're very kind.
Because you are giving people, you're giving other nurses the permission to share their stories.
Well, that's the comments that I'm getting from the nurse readers, like, oh my gosh, that same thing happened to me. Sort of validation, we're in this profession that is often pigeonholed into excretion and secretion management when it's so much more. Some of these stories were very difficult for me to write. In particular, one of the stories I only put in this book because when I told it to another nurse, she said, that has got to go in the book. The title of that story is Unbearable. And it was another story that I had packed so far away because it was very emotional for me to recall that. But nurses on a daily basis, on a regular, every shift basis, they confront very challenging emotional, mental, and physical challenges. And that is one of the missions of the remaining number of years I have in my nursing career is to support new nurses as they enter the field to recognize the remarkable and extraordinary career that nursing holds for them and how self-care is so important to being able to stay in the profession and this coming together in tribes such as you support with tips on wellness and how to stay well in the moment and how to make yourself number one so that you can help other people.
So powerful. And I think this right here speaks to the power and the absolute importance of figuring out what is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you feel alive? What is it that keeps you grounded? What is it that allows you to understand and embody like who you are, what you came to do, and to have really, really, really strong boundaries? Because nurses that don't have good boundaries and they're not grounded in practices and tools to help keep you safe, whether that be energetic practices, spiritual practices, exercise practices, you cannot separate the mind from the body. You cannot separate the spirit from the body. It's all connected. And so when we care for the humanity of other humans, it affects you on every level. And if you're not taking care of the whole vessel, you are going to fry yourself. You're going to get physically sick. And it's really soul sucking if you don't.
It is. And I'm hoping that modern nursing education focuses in more on this issue of nurse burnout and how to, in my mind, programs such as yours and Annette Tersini's should be taught to nurses as they enter nurses training, no matter what kind of program they're in, and get nurses in training to begin this process of self-awareness and self-care in whatever format or direction that speaks to them in the moment. Just as you said, exactly right. Critical.
Yeah, it would be cool if nurse education was legit, like a self-discovery and nursing education. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Like that would be amazing.
And I know that there are nurses in education now who are looking to find a way to let that happen. Yes, exactly right. I have a nurse colleague, Candace Johnson. She's a PhD RN at VCU School of Nursing and Community Health. And she has me come to speak to her senior nursing students every semester and talk to them about self-care and wellness. And the last thing I have them do in my presentations, after I teach them about yoga breathing, yoga movement, yoga rest, and we do a guided relaxation, I say to them, take out your cell phone and hand it to the person next to you and turn it on camera mode and have them take a picture of your hands. And, you know, first of all, very few presenters will say, get out your cell phone. And so they are looking quizzically at me, and they get their phone back. They have a picture of their hands. And I say, now, when the day comes, and it will come, when you are working as a nurse and you are frustrated and irritated and ready to call it quits, this is the photo you go back and look at. This is the photo of your healing hands. And the reason you became a nurse is that you have this calling, and these wonderful healing hands are, and you are there for the patient. And it's a very somber moment. It's though as though they haven't really put all of that together yet.
What a powerful exercise that is. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us, Susan. I totally know. I mean, there's the American Holistic Nurses Association. I was just looking at the newsletter last night, actually. And so many people are doing research, and things take a lot of time, it feels like. And so I think the needle is moving on the dial more towards what we're speaking of. So yay for change, yay for moving in the right direction. And I would like to shift gears a little bit now, Susan, and talk about, so this show is called Divine Downloads, and like you, I did some writing. It wasn't in the form of a book. That's to come when the time is right. And I wrote this oracle deck called Divine Downloads. And it's interesting to write an oracle deck. It seems like, oh, that's kind of creative. It's simple and fun. I had so much resistance, because when you're writing, you have to find your voice, and there's all the demons. Who am I to write this? Who will listen to what I have to say? Blah, 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 blah. It's like it's the ego, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I wrote the oracle deck. It was one of the most healing experiences ever. And then my spirit guides were like, tapping me on the shoulder again. They said, hey, we want you to also do a podcast of the same name. And we want you to ask other people about their downloads. And so to me, a divine download is, it could be an experience that changes you forever. Like, you have many of them in your book. It could be wisdom. Maybe you're in the bath, or you're on a walk, or you're with a patient, and it's like you either somehow you have access to information in your heart space, your spiritual space, that you never had access to. And as a result of receiving that, taking it in, you don't ever do things the same way. So is there one that comes up for you, Susan, that you'd like to share with the listeners?
There is, as you say, many in my book, from the story I just described earlier about meeting the nurse when I was a tiny child. But most recently, I had a jarring and shaking Divine Download. It was October 2017. And I went to a yoga class. I take yoga classes at Studio South in Williamsburg. It's where I did my yoga teacher training. It's where I teach in their yoga teacher training program. And it was a Wednesday night. And, you know, as usual, I flew in there at the last minute, sort of sliding into home plate onto my mat. And the teacher had us stand at the top of the mat and palms touching. And she went on to say, now take a moment to quiet yourself onto the mat and set an intention for this practice. And I was like, I am not in a mood to set an intention. I don't know what my intention is. I made it this, you know, I made it this far, just let me alone. And so I'm thinking, well, what? I don't have an intention. I don't have anything. And she was saying, now the intention can be for peace, or it can be to honor your path. And it was like somebody shot me with a taser. I thought, Susan's path. That's it. It's Susan's path. That's the intention I've been looking for all along, not in just in this class, but I don't know how she linked those particular words together, but it was like an arrow that shot straight into me. And with that recognition, I had three words come to me: my divine spark. I need to let out my divine spark. And right then, I began to recognize that the universe would open doors for me, that if I just observed for it, the synchronicity of opportunities would make themselves aware to me. And that's when I really jumped on getting my book published, getting those stories together, finding the editor, pondering through all the options for publishing. And so that's what it was, Lisbeth. It was my divine spark, Susan's path.
So juicy. Now, for those of you who are listening who do not practice yoga, there is a beautiful saying, and this is so apropos, and that is, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Yes. That, like, right that moment on your mat when you were like, just let me do my damn yoga.
I know.
And it's like, unbeknownst to your soul, it was like, oh, Susan's path, my divine spark. Yes, girl. Yes, this is it. So this is also what I want to do on the show, is that I used to do this, so I know people that are listening are doing this right now. And being a human equates with comparison. Comparison is the thief of joy, and it's a part of human nature to compare. So people might be listening and be like, well, that's great for Susan. That's great for Lisbeth. They're all, you know, up into their business. This doesn't happen overnight. This is a journey. It's called a journey. It's never about the destination. It's about the journey, right?
Exactly.
So what would you say to someone who's listening? Maybe they're in nursing school, maybe they're a new nurse, or maybe they're not a nurse and they don't know what their path is. Like, what's one little, I mean, so much of this has been so much wisdom, but what's one little nugget that you could offer somebody right now who's like grasping for something?
Well, I'll speak for myself in that each day when I get out of bed, I think there is somebody out there that is important for me to see, to smile at, to interact with, and open my eyes. Let me be ready for it. Because these ideas, these opportunities that have come to me have come because I've had my eyes open to it. You know, aside from my nursing education, I've taken tons of night school classes in writing and art and stained glass and cooking and any kind of thing. And you never know where that spark will come for that will lead you forth on your path. And there's many side roads and many journeys. My brother, who is 6 years younger than I am, was a photographer, and then he became an over-the-road truck driver. And then in his 50s, he became a registered nurse and is now a hospice nurse. And he has loved every one of those permutations of his life. And I like to think of it this way. Think of the number 100 and then subtract your age from that. So I have 32 more years to go. What would I like to do with those next 32 years for me personally, aside from, you know, feed myself, bathe myself, and drive as long as I possibly can? I want to connect with people. I want to open their eyes to health and wellness. I want to explore new learning. I want to read lots of books. So if you, and I tell my nursing students the same thing, think about that number. How many, we all have the potential to live to 100. You may not find the answer to what your passion is this year or the next year. Slowly and slowly, it will be revealed to you. So keep your eyes open.
Sage wisdom. I love that. Keep your eyes open. And absolutely. One of my favorite writers. Have you ever heard of Florence Scovel Shen?
No.
Oh, girl. Okay. So she was a writer in the 40s, and I will never forget. So words have healed me. So I feel very, very connected to words because, like everything else, they have energy and frequency. And seriously, I was gardening in my backyard, Susan, and I'm listening to her book, The Big Magic of Life. I can't remember it, but anyway, if you Google her, Florence Scovel Shen, she said one of her quotes that moved me is, "You receive what you prepare for."
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I had a small shovel. I threw it clear across the yard. I was like, what? I was like, and it's speaking to what you're saying. Like, what are we preparing for? And as nurses, we are trained, prepare for the worst and expect and hope for the best. Like, you need to have all the things you need just in case. But with your spirit, your mindset, are you preparing for a disaster? Are you preparing for a miracle? Like, I come to the table with a miracle consciousness. I expect miracles. That's just how I show up. And as a result, I have a miracle after miracle after a miracle. And I would say, everybody listening, you have had miracles cross your path right beneath your nose that you didn't even realize were there because you're so up above the clavicle. So the more that you can drop down into your heart space, the more that you can put your feet on the earth, the more that you can do yoga, be in nature, write, sing, dance, do pottery, paint, it connects you with that information, because I promise you, your soul is trying to communicate with you every second that it possibly can.
Amen.
Okay. This has been so, so, so rich. And let's tell people, Susan, how they can get your book. Well, we talked about your book, but how can people get into your vortex?
You know, I really feel that this book has potential to bring awareness to others about what nurses do. And it also has the potential to change nursing education. So please read my book. It's on Kindle. It's at Amazon. Read about what I do. If you're a nurse, please write your own stories. They're valuable. And you'll read in my stories. I mean, we had 50 years ago, we had metal bedpans and metal needles that needed to be sterilized and glass syringes. That should be written down. This is part of our history. Next year, 2020, the World Health Organization has proclaimed it Year of the Nurse and Midwife. We have a whole year in front of us where we can shine our light to the world by telling our own stories. You know, get it to nurse educators, get it to your library, share it with your family, and then write your own stories and be an advocate for another nurse who may be struggling. My website, nursesurgeonyoga.com, will show you the people who are in my yoga class, show you my story, show you how my path has taken many twists and turns and how I'm still evolving as a nurse entrepreneur and an educator in health and wellness, and find those resources that can help you find your passion as well. I have a Facebook page, Nurse Susan Yoga. You can follow me there.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I kind of feel like I've done a yoga class in this conversation. Yeah, it's really been super profound and special. So I want to thank you, Susan, for your life's work. I want to thank you for writing it down. Holy moly, what a tribute to the nursing profession and to your patients and to you. Really, 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 really well done. I just want to acknowledge you. Like, that's whoo. And I'm looking forward to your next edition, and especially with that picture of you on the cover with the red hair. Oh my gosh. So we are going to wrap it up with that. Thank you again for all your wisdom, Susan. It's been such a pleasure. Any final parting words before we wrap it up?
Two things. Thank you so much for bringing me to your audience and allowing me to reach out with my voice to them. And also, thank you so much for your Oracle deck. I have it in a mug that I have them sitting in a mug on my table where I sit and read every morning. And there's a turtle on my mug, and turtle is my totem. And I notice often when I'm getting discouraged, you know, in Eastern Virginia, we have turtles, and suddenly they'll appear in front of me and I know, okay, just keep going on your path. Keep your divine spark going. So every morning I look at my Oracle deck, whatever's on top, I read it, it grounds me, it inspires me, and it gives me often a theme for my day. So thank you for that, Elizabeth.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, thank you for that shout out. I love the visual. I'm a very visual person. So the turtle being your totem, like that, that's so good. Oh, I love that so much. Oh my gosh. Okay, I just have a huge promo grin right now. So thank you again, Susan. And of course, thank you to the listeners. Again, if you're a first time, please come back for more. If you're a repeat listener, thank you, thank you, thank you. And of course, we know sharing is caring. If this podcast has moved you at all, once, twice, three times, I would be so grateful if you wouldn't mind writing a review over on the old iTunes, because the more reviews you get, the more people it gets in front of. So please share if that resonates with you. If you want to join a really high vibe, like-minded group of nurses, I have a free group over on the old Facebook called Nurses of Influence. Would love to have you there. I share lots of card readings there, energy clearings and things like that. Would love to have you. If you want to check out the Oracle deck, check out my website, elizabethoverton.com. And please, 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 please honor your journey. You are an amazing human and you have so many gifts to share, especially that one right in your chest there, your heart, bringing that through to your hands, your chakras, your healing to the world. Start with yourself and just take baby steps. And remember that you're amazing. Until next time, take good care of yourself and just keep taking one step at a time. Ciao.